from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily with Jacob Albracht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you on a Friday. TGIF, more coherent than a presidential debate. We are rocking and rolling for the next 2 hours, ready to get you ready for a Royals weekend. Nice way to open the series against the Guardians for Kansas City. So we will dig way into that. NBA draft talk, we got a couple of Jayhawks selected in the second round, so we can get into those decisions as well. Look around the NFL. Speaking of which, the league has to pay lots and lots of money for something that is interesting, I think. We'll have to figure out what it means and how to dissect it and how it might affect our, you know, our viewing habits and all of these things. We will have two giveaways for you today, including your last chance to go to Dam Jam down in Goddard. We'll tell you more about that later in the program. Get those winners later. We'll also give away some HTO, some iced tea, some coffee for you later in the program. The IHOP hotline is open for you, brought to you by IHOP, where you can check out the classic breakfast sampler, two strips of hickory smoked bacon, two pork sausage links, two pieces of thick-cut ham, two eggs, hash browns, and two buttermilk pancakes. That IHOP hotline is 869-1240. You can also get in touch with the program by leaving us your comments on our video stream, which you'll find on Facebook, you'll find it on YouTube, you'll find it on X. You can leave your comments there. We'll get to those on the air. All kinds of different ways to get in touch with the program. You can reach out to Tommy and I, you know, individually on social media as well. It's all right there for you on this Friday. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Doesn't it make you feel good that you and I are, you know, like you mentioned, more coherent? We make more sense on a daily basis than, you know, the two guys who are running to, you know, lead our country.
We're not 80. I don't know that I'll sound, I'll probably not be quite as sharp as they are.
I mean, we do this thing every day for 2 hours. You know, they did it one time.
Some people might disagree with us on that, Tommy. We can, you know, be a little nonsensical sometimes, but it's not a political show. It's an observational show at times. It's just an observation from last night. It was something. It was something. I was watching the Royals, though. You know, I got home from Crestview. Shout out to Crestview. Great supporter of the program. Played a little golf. Got home. Flipped on the Royals. Flipped on the debate, began with the debate unmuted and the Royals muted, and pretty quickly that swapped and we watched and listened to the Royals. You can of course listen to the Royals as I did driving everywhere I go right here on KFH, home of the Kansas City Royals. It was a good game, Tommy, and we just can start there. Look, you had it, I don't care how they come necessarily against the Guardians, and good call by you to just go ahead and keep slamming that under. I hope you did that yesterday.
I did.
And I did too. I ended up doing it with like a bonus bet I had somewhere. So that, you know, that played itself out certainly. And I don't think we're to the point where we can be particularly picky in these moments, especially against this team. You just kind of take it as you can get it. Right? In a game against your division rival that you still hold out hope, if you're the Royals, that, you know, sometime down the road, probably not until September, you might be able to run them down in the division. But in the meantime, I don't care who they're playing. They just need to win games at this point. The offense did not wake up last night. This isn't some like, all right, they're back moment. It's they survived one and they got a win. Way to go.
That's the way they've been winning lately, is by surviving one and doing enough, just enough offensively to get a victory. In the final game against the Marlins, it was a 5-run eighth inning. In the game last night against the Guardians, it was a 2-run sixth inning. And that was all that it took for the Royals to get the victory. And, you know, we can spend as much time as possible going over the offensive woes for Kansas City. How about that pitching performance, and, you know, particularly the bullpen, and really even more specifically Sam Long, an inning and two thirds, and he got out of a big time jam to keep the lead for the Royals. Michael Wacha pitched another great game. It wasn't that long ago. I mean, before he went on the IL, He was struggling, and I was a little concerned about what he was bringing to the Royals. He's absolutely turned that around since he's returned from the injured list. He pitched fantastic last night to keep the Royals in that game, even down 1-0 until the sixth inning. So, yeah, there are absolutely reasons that, you know, you could be concerned, and I think we are, and that's been well discussed. But ultimately, as you mentioned, that's a huge win to start off this series. You know, ultimately, the division race can still have a wide variety of outcomes after Sunday. You know, the Royals could be within 5 games, or they could be all the way back 11 games, you know, at the end of it. There's a wide range of outcomes over the next 3 games, but they got the first one, and that's the most important thing.
Yeah, and it's we can lose sight, because I think that's where we're in that, you know, mode of the fact that we are only halfway through this season. The problem for me on the division has been we're just not getting any indication that Cleveland is going to slow down enough to allow the Royals to catch them. That's been the problem in the division for me. Can it still happen? Well, of course it can still happen. They could lose their 3 top players to injury in the next week, and then who knows, right? So it's not that these things are outside the realm of possibility. They're just not the most important thing. The most important thing is that the Royals start playing better, because they have not been playing well at all. And you kind of just have to start there. And that's the difficulty of baseball. And the difficulty for these teams is there's no greater marathon in sports. We see teams all the time. Start hot, finish slow. Start slow, finish hot. But it's not fun, Tommy. It's not fun as a fan, as an observer, to not live in the moment at the same time of a baseball season. My wife watches baseball and is like, who cares? There's 180 games. She doesn't know how many games there are. She's like, there's 1 billion games, you know, whatever. I'm like, it's 162, but don't ruin my fun. That's probably the more pragmatic way to look at a baseball season. Like, eh, who cares? It's 1 game. But that's not fun as a fan, and that's not fun as an observer. And what makes a great baseball race fun is dissecting hard games on June 27th, overreacting to games on June 26th. That's the beauty of being in the middle of things. That's why baseball, I say it all the time, there's nothing more fulfilling, I don't think, as a sports fan, as a good competitive baseball season. If you're a baseball person, you get 162 days of it. In the NFL, if you're a Chiefs fan, you get 1 day a week. You know, you get 1 day a week to get excited or mad, and then you consume the other things. But in baseball, you get games every day. The emotional roller coaster of a baseball season is a wild one, and that's fun. And all I want is for the Royals to not fall out of this thing and just to stay in it for the entirety of this season.
I think it's a fair expectation in this 4-game set against the Guardians to just really, like, at the very bare minimum, just maintain, like, just hang on. It doesn't matter. You don't have to dominate them. Cleveland's too good to be dominated over the course of 4 games. But hang on and do what you can do to at least not lose any ground to Cleveland. And they're well on their way to doing that. If they split the series, they don't lose any ground. But then, you know, they really only need 1 more win out of the next 3 to be able to not lose any ground. But then from there, you know, if they can get 2 of the next 3, then you're cutting that gap, you know, down by a couple of games. If you can, I know it's unlikely, but if you can sweep the Guardians, you're only 5 games back at that point, you know, after knocking that door down. So there's a lot at play here. And I think that going back to your point about the long season and, you know, all of that, yeah, it's 162 games, but from the course of, like, the start of a week to the end of a week, things can change dramatically for any team in Major League Baseball. And that's the fun of it, where it's not just 1 day a week and, you know, like in football or whatever. Like, things can change pretty rapidly just over the span of a handful of games. And when you're taking on a division rival and the team that's in first place in the division and you're trying to chase them down, then absolutely things can change. You don't have to, you know, cross your fingers and hope and wait for the Guardians to lose a game. You're playing them, so you can cause them to lose a game and be able to gain some ground. That's what makes it that much more important for Kansas City. And I think that if you break things down into those digestible chunks, and we've done that this entire season, where it's like this 10-game stretch or this homestand or this road trip, and really trying to, like, look at it as kind of like micro seasons, like the seasons within the seasons, that's really where you can start to get that analysis and really start to figure out, okay, where is it that the Royals are, where do they have the best opportunity to gain ground, or what do they need to watch out for? And we all know the offense is an issue, but if they can just hang on to, going back to what you said a couple of minutes ago, really in this particular series, I don't think it matters how you win as long as you win.
It's funny that you said they have a chance to only be five games back. I think yesterday I said no matter what, they'll still be five games back. Like, that's what I'm talking about in a baseball season. Like, you get that win and you're like, all right, let's run down Cleveland. Let's get them. And yesterday it was like, doesn't matter what they do, they're not going to catch it. So, I love that. And I've always been...
that wild pendulum swing, right? Because just like, had they gotten swept by the Guardians, they would have been 13 games back. Like, that wide range of outcomes from this four-game series.
That's why I love baseball so much. It's why baseball will always hold the best place in my heart. I would tell you that I'm far more of a consumer now, and have been for a long time, football. Football, if you made me say, like, what is your favorite sport? It's football. But I don't know that it'll ever hold the same kind of place for me as a sports fan that baseball will. Because baseball is so fulfilling for so long in every individual season. I love baseball. I do this for a living because I listen to baseball games on the radio. I lived in the country with my dad when we had, you know, at least a 30-minute drive home every day. We listened to baseball every day. He had it fashioned so that in the bathroom, when you turned on the light switch, it turned on a radio to put on, you know, the station that ran the Texas Rangers games growing up. We literally listened every day. Like, it was always. And then it was with my grandpa. It was always the St. Louis Cardinals. Every day, no matter what you wanted to do, no matter what you wanted to talk about, you were going to talk about what happened with the Cardinals the night before. Period. Like, you could start a conversation about anything else, and it was just like, I'm not listening to what you're saying. Did you see what that you know, idiot Tony La Russa did last night? That's how a conversation with my grandpa. Like, but you don't get that with anything else. You know, we have found creative ways to fill our time with football during the week. It's still the most interesting to talk about every single day. There's no question about that.
The anticipation is probably greater for a football game leading up to a Sunday or a primetime game. But that doesn't.
The only place, though, where you can get it every single day. Nothing else does that. And that's why I love it. And so, you know, the Royals stinking for a while has really bothered me, because I move here in 2014 and the ride is on, right? First 2 years I was here, I was all over the country covering that team. We were talking about them every day. It was so much fun. You were getting the water cooler baseball thing. Like, everybody around was just kind of talking about the Royals, right? And so, yeah, I it goes from that to what it's been the last, you know, probably 4 years at least, where, man, you can't talk. I mean, you just can't. Like, there's nothing to talk about. They won 58 games or whatever it was last year. So that's the beauty of this. That's why I'm so happy they're in this, and that's why we get so up and down with this team, is because we just don't want to see it end. You don't want to see them fall out of this. Beat Cleveland however you can beat them. I still have a lot of concerns about this team. They scored only 2 runs last night. It was good enough last night. That's fine. Great. I'm glad they beat them. But it's going to have to be better than that. I don't know if this offense, it was, is weird. We didn't love the offense, right, Tommy? They were scoring a lot of runs. You kept looking and it was like, oh, they're one of the top offenses in the American League. Now I think reality is setting in a little bit. And the reality is, this isn't a great offense. It's a top-heavy offense, but it's not a great offense. And I think what we're seeing is the law of averages play out. And I just don't know that this offense, as it's currently constructed, is ever going to be as good as it was in May. I think that's probably pretty unlikely.
I think there was one thing in the game last night that happened that hasn't happened much at all in 2 years that I think maybe did spark a little bit in the Royals. And honestly, that was Matt Quatrero getting rung up, like getting tossed. I think that that had a little bit to do with it. Like, I think that was maybe only the second time this season that that's happened. You know, he's not typically known to be the kind of guy to get out there and mix it up with the umpires. You know, it was that play on Nick Lofton. Was he deliberately running out of the base path, or was he giving the third baseman for the Guardians room to field the ball? And that was the whole course of the argument. The umpire said that he was deliberately running out of the base path to avoid the tag, and Quintero gets tossed. That frustration started to boil over of, look, we, you know, finally have, you know, runners in scoring position, and then something like this happens and runs are at a premium for our team. And, you know, then the umpires in his mind are taking away one of the few opportunities that this team has to score runs. And so I don't blame him one bit for going out there and arguing, number one, but then also there's, I mean, managers do this all the time, getting tossed to show the team, like, this sort of thing is not going to continue. I'm not going to tolerate this sort of thing continuing. Very shortly thereafter, you had Kyle Isbell and Michael Garcia back-to-back triples, and then a sac fly from Vinny Pasquantino that gave the Royals their two runs. Was it an epic offensive outburst? No, it wasn't at all, but it was enough to have the Royals get the victory. And when you've got dynamic starting pitching that the Royals have, and honestly, the bullpen's been really good as of late, those two things combined, even against a team like Cleveland, two runs, that was all it took.
It's not all it's going to take for the rest of the series.
No.
I don't think it's not all it's going to take to remain in a playoff hunt. It's not all it's going to take to, you know, to get back to what they were doing. And we are seeing now, this is a long stretch. It's a long stretch. I'm not smart enough to know if the opposition is figuring out a way to navigate the Royals lineup. I think there probably is some of that. And I think there's, you know, all you can really do, yes, guys can heat up, but they can also cool off. They're going to need some reinforcements here. I don't think there's any question. And I mean, if nothing else, if you're a Royals fan, even if they never catch Cleveland, if they play well in this series, it does amplify the, I don't know if it's pressure, but maybe it's amplifying the decision one way or the other on how aggressive the Royals are going to be at the trade deadline. We talked for almost 2 hours yesterday about it. I maintain that they have got to be aggressive this year. There are so many circumstances that point to aggression this year from the front office at the trade deadline. Now, what does that mean? It just means do something, right? It doesn't mean, it doesn't matter, because I don't think they have what it takes to go get a big time player, but they've got to do something. The pressure is on to do something, because that you cannot waste this opportunity. They're trying to build a new ballpark. They're trying to convince Missouri to pony up billions of dollars to help them build a ballpark. They put their money where their mouth was this offseason. It just does not make any sense to me to not follow that up. I mean, if we looked back at this, Tommy, you know, in, I don't even know what month would they have made those moves. Let's just say December, because I don't want to look it up. December, when this offseason, basically, when they made the decision to go add these pieces, if you looked at this then and you gave it a crystal ball and I said, all right, you know, John Sherman, Piccolo, everybody. I'm going to tell you right now that on June 28th, you guys are going to be 7 games over .500. Everyone would have been doing a dance of happiness there. So don't waste it. It's gone almost as good as you could have hoped. You just got to follow it up now. Because, yeah, they win 2-1, but they can't score any runs right now. And I just don't think this offense is going to get back to what we saw there for a stretch early in the season. I don't think that's reality for this roster.
Well, as far as being aggressive, I think I said it yesterday that I'm going to need, at least in my mind, to feel a little bit more confident that they've got at least somewhat of a solid path to a playoff spot before I really want them to go all in and be aggressive at the trade deadline. This series is going to tell me a lot. If they lose the final three games of this series against Cleveland, they'll be 11 games back of the Guardians. At that point, I don't feel like they need to be aggressive at the trade deadline. You're battling for maybe one wild card spot. Now, if they can win two of the next three, they'll be 7 games back. If they can win all the next three, they'll be 5 games back. Hey, at that point, I feel pretty good about that. Like, let's go. Like, to me, there's a big difference between 5 or 7 games back and 11 games back.
I'll tell you why I don't think there is on the other side. 869-1240 is the IHOP hotline. We got Jad Chambers manning that for us. We've got giveaways coming. Let's do our HTO giveaway right now. All you got to do to win some HTO iced tea, more than 20 flavors, or free rain coffee from any of the three Wichita Metro locations, east, west, or in Derby, is text the keyword TEA, T-E-A, to the short code 20357. That's TEA to short code 20357. Message and data rates apply. You can enter once per day on this contest. We run it most days here on Sports Daily. Good luck, everybody. We'll come back. More Royals talk. We'll get to the NBA. We'll get to these Big 12 men's basketball schedules that were released yesterday. I think it's great for both Kansas and Kansas State. And we can talk about, well, the rest of the sports world as well. It's all coming. Sports Daily, Albrecht and Caster. Don't go away. Welcome back into Sports Daily here, everybody. It is Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Caster, Jack Chambers producing, manning that IHOP hotline. All right, Tommy, lay out what you did there at the end of the last segment, that your trade deadline aggression sort of depends on this series.
I don't know if it fully depends on just this series, but I do think this series is absolutely critical to decide whether or not they should be aggressive at the deadline. I kind of broke it down. I mean, if the Royals this series with the Guardians, and they're well on their way to at least do that, they don't lose any ground, but they don't gain any ground. They'll still be 9 games back after Sunday. All right, I'm still kind of on the fence about what I want to do at the deadline. If they lose the next 3 games, they drop the series to Cleveland, they'll be 11 games back. I don't know if I really want to be that aggressive at that point at the trade deadline. Now, things can obviously change between Sunday when this series wraps up and the deadline in less than a month from now. But 11 games back with really probably only a shot at the wild card, I don't know if I want to go all in at the deadline and, you know, start really going for broke with that being the case. Now, if they win 2 of their next 3, they take the series from Cleveland, or if they sweep the series and win all of the next 3 games, then they'll be 5 or 7 games back of the Guardians. Okay, I feel more comfortable that there is a path to win the division if you get some good reinforcements to come in. So at that point, I feel a little bit better about being more aggressive at the deadline.
Here's what I don't agree with, is that it's all about the division, because I think, especially this year, when you play your divisional opponents less than you ever have, there are 4 playoff spots available for the Royals. The division is one of them, and then there are 3 wild card spots available. If the division is the least attainable because of the 4 spots, the Guardians are the best team, you still have 75% of those spots available. Wild card spots now, to me, are just as, like, it's equal to winning a division. The incentive of winning a division is nice, but it's not so much so that we should discount the wild card spots. The reality might just be that the Guardians, of those 4 playoff spots available, basically the Guardians have the best record of the 4. It doesn't really matter if they're the 3rd wild card spot or they win the division. They got a spot in the playoffs. It's all the same. Running down the Guardians will be harder than it ever has been, because you won't play them as much head-to-head as you ever have before. You're just as likely to run down the Twins, the Orioles, the Red Sox, whoever else ends up in it, Rangers, Astros, Rays, whatever the combination is. It may just simply be that the Guardians have a better record than all of those teams, so you weren't going to run them down anyway. But that leaves 3 playoff spots now.
Yeah, my point in all of that is that the closer that you are to Cleveland, because Cleveland kind of is the benchmark, right? They're the best team, at least in the American League right now. They're the benchmark, and the closer you get to them, whether or not you're actually going to legitimately overtake them and win the AL Central, it opens up more possibilities for wildcard spots. As it stands right now, you think the Royals are going to they're probably not even going to challenge for the AL Central, but as it stands right now, are they going to challenge for the top wildcard spot? Probably not. Are they going to challenge for the second? Well, yes, it does matter, because you've got these teams in front of you. You're going to have that much more of a likelihood to make the playoffs if all 3 wildcard spots are in your sight, as opposed to just the last one that you're battling for, because then you're overtaking the teams that are behind Cleveland in the wildcard race. Overall, from a record standpoint, you've got that much more opportunity to get into the playoffs. Your probability to make the playoffs goes up. If you're 11 games back at the end of this weekend, at that point, you're absolutely, barring some kind of miracle, not battling for the first or the second wildcard spot. If you could grab maybe the third, that's about the only chance they've got, I think.
Mix for the second. They're only a game back right now of the second wildcard
spot. If you end up losing the next three games, Minnesota's playing.
Maybe they're three games back.
My point is that it's not even necessarily about the division. Like, yes, that'd be great to be able to chase down the Guardians and win the AL Central. But that's not my overall point. My overall point is that they're the standard. Cleveland is the standard in the American League in general. And so the closer you can get to them, the closer then you can get to unlocking the door to having multiple chances, multiple opportunities, multiple doors to walk through to make the playoffs.
All right. So let's go back for a second. Let's go back to 2021 when we sort of expanded that wild card back out, right? Let's go there. They had two wild card spots that year. 92 wins were your two wild card spots. The Red Sox and the Yankees both had 92 wins. The Blue Jays were in the mix at 91, but 92 wins was the benchmark for a wild card spot then. In 2022, the top wild card had 92 wins. The other two had 90 and 86 wins. Last year, we look at the wild card. The Rays were that team. If you envision the Yankees / Orioles non-East winner as being that team that's unattainable, last year's a good example of that. 99 wins by the Rays. They didn't win the division. But the other two wild card teams had 90 and 89 wins. Historically now, we're looking at this, and it's about it takes about 90 wins, 90, 91 wins to get into the playoffs in recent history with this expansion. So when you, like, to me, that's what I'm looking at. The Royals right now are on pace, I think, for 89 wins or 90 wins.
Yeah.
So that's what you're up against. You're sort of up against history there. History tells us they're not going to have to win 95 games to get into the playoffs. They got to win like 90, 91, 92.
Sure.
So they're already doing that.
You're right.
Why wouldn't you want to be aggressive?
You're proving my point. They're already doing it. So why do you need to go make any moves at that point? If that's literally what you're trying to get to, you're pacing for that right now with the team that you have. So why give up assets if you're already pacing
for that? What assets are you afraid of them giving up? What asset are you afraid of?
I'm just saying in general, like, why would you want to give something up if you're already pacing to that point? If that's the standard that you're trying to reach is a 90 win mark, and at that point the sights of the division are out of sight, like it's not going to happen for you. You're not trying to win 95 games. You're not trying to win 100 games. You're not trying to chase down Cleveland. Your current team, as it's built right now, is pacing for about 90 wins. And if that's what it takes to get a wild card spot, then why give anything up to go get anybody?
I'm going to ask you two questions. One, do you think this team right now wins 92 games?
I think that if they're healthy, I think that they can.
You think this team, the way we've seen them play over the last month, is a 92-win team? I do not.
That's a different question.
No, it's not. It's the only question that matters. Because if you don't think they are, then they need to get better. And I don't think they are.
Absolutely. I mean, we talked about it like multiple times that it, you know, at least offensively, that, yeah, the law of averages may be catching up, but like offensively, is this team as really they're true? Are they truly as good as they were at the beginning of the season? In reality, no. But are they truly as bad as they currently are right now?
No, I agree.
So I think that the pitching is as it has been all year. I think that they do without making any moves at all.
Well, then that's fine. I don't think that they're a 92 win team right now. I don't think they are. They have had very fortunate health through the first half that I think is very hard to count on in the second half as well. And I think that they are somewhere in between what we saw in May and what we've seen in June. So are they, you know, is this as good as the first half possibly could have gone for them? I'd say probably yes. So I'm not comfortable calling them a 92 win team right now. The other question I would ask is, what are people afraid that they'll give up that will hamstring the franchise?
I'm not afraid of them giving anything up. I'm saying it's not necessary for them to do it. I don't think it's necessary for them to do anything. Like, if unless then you start to like open the door again to, okay, they could maybe win the division now. Okay, well then, yeah, go for broke. Go all in.
But why is that one divisional spot so much better or worse than the other three playoff spots that are there?
They're not competing for the first wild card spot. The way it stands right now, like, I don't think they're competing, because like that's about, you'd have to be basically almost as good as Cleveland at that point to be able to get that first wild card spot. What my point is that, like, okay, let's say that they're a 90 win team and they're pacing for right around there and they don't make any changes. What's the likelihood of them getting a wild card spot? Probably fairly low. I mean, maybe 50-50. Even like the third, like 50-50, like it kind of is what it is. If you all of a sudden are winning more games and then you have a more likelihood to not only get maybe the third wild card spot, but then maybe the second wild card spot, but then you do continue to get better and maybe then you have the first, like, then it becomes like, okay, like there's a lot more outs. I used the analogy yesterday in playing poker. Like, you have a lot more outs, right? They don't have a lot of outs right now, I don't think. Now, if they end this series this weekend, five back from the Guardians, then yeah, there's a lot more outs. And then, okay, like you've done the job to get back into shouting distance. So, okay, go ahead and go and make some moves to get you all the way over the hump, because you've got greater accomplishments in your field of view. Like, you then are competing for all three wildcard spots. Potentially you're competing maybe even for a division championship, but if it, you know, as it stands right now, they're not. So I just don't know why you would want to go for broke in that situation.
I just don't know why you would be satisfied in this playoff race to have six players in your lineup hitting below 235. Why would you let yourself be satisfied with that? There aren't young prospects on the cusp that they will trade away. There aren't any. They're not there. That risk is not the same as it was in 2014. There was only one wild card spot in 2014 that was a one-game play-in format. Yep. That is gone. There are now three wild card spots that get
the wild card is structured is significantly better than what it was when it was a one-game sample size. I agree with you on that.
They ran a lineup out yesterday with six players that aren't even hitting 235.
And they won the game. Like, we just said, like, it's...
They did. 2-1.
They won the game. You know, like, I just...
But that's not... We shouldn't be satisfied. That's not good enough. Why would you be ultra aggressive in the offseason? Why would you go spend all that money? Why would you commit to Bobby Witt to do all the things that they did and not follow that up when the opportunity to follow it up is glaring?
I'm surprised, honestly, I'm surprised that this is your opinion on this, because you're a gambler and, like, I just don't think the odds are particularly good for them to go for broke. Like, let's use another card game analogy. It's like blackjack. You got 14, you know, or 15. Are you going to hit again and risk busting entirely? Or are you going to stand pat and say, you know what, like, there's a chance that the dealer busts too? Like, I just think, like, you don't need to be overly aggressive in those situations.
A gambling analogy. Have I been getting my tail kicked all day? Am I trying to take it back in baby steps, or am I trying to win it all back at once? I think that matters too. I think the difference of what we're talking about is you're afraid they'll give up too much in some trade.
No. I'm afraid that they end up making moves that then don't, like, they don't work, and it doesn't really make a big difference at the end of the day on what they're doing.
What's the risk in that? You want to talk about a gambling analogy? What is the risk of making those?
Do you think that if, and I understand, and it's been discussed at long length about the weaknesses of the farm system and what they have and what they don't have. I understand all of that. If you make moves now, I do think that in some capacity, regardless if it's talented players or not, you might be handcuffing yourself a little bit to try to make some moves that could make you even that much better in 2025.
Okay, Rick brings up a good point here too, is that most teams aren't making moves right now because there's not a lot of sellers yet. And that is a fair point. But you know there are two or three, and you know there are players on those two or three teams that could make this team better. Six players in the lineup yesterday, 235 and below.
They won the game.
I know. and they've lost most of the games coming into that game, which is why they're 8 games back in the division. Like, yesterday is great. I love that yesterday happened. I don't want to ignore the prior 15 games before it when they lost the vast majority of them. We'll see what they do. I'm trying to run down, just by the way, we're trying to run down J.J. Piccolo to join the show. I think that can happen. I think it will. I hope it will. We honestly guess at what they're thinking. Maybe we can get an actual answer from that. So we'll continue to watch it. We'll continue to talk about it just about every day. This is the beauty, ladies and gentlemen, of Relevant Baseball. I love it more than anything in sports. We've got comments on our video stream we'll get to in that conversation. Let's come back. We'll get you caught up on what happened yesterday in the NBA draft. We'll try to dig into this NFL Sunday ticket story. It's weird. I don't really know what the ripple effects might be, but we'll get you at least the news of it and maybe take a couple of swings at it. 869-1240 is that IHOP hotline. It is open for you. Don't forget, our contest for the first hour is to win some HTO, iced tea and coffee. Text the word TTEA to 20357. Message and data rates apply. We'll be right back.
And 1240 KFH. The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Royals baseball on KFH, available for free on the Odyssey app. Royals series hosting the Guardians continues tonight. Tune into KFH at 7 o'clock. You can simply download the Odyssey app and search for KFH. If you miss any of our Hour 1 conversation about the Royals, you can go back and listen to that as well on the Odyssey app. Lots of different ways you can take in the show. Mike says on our YouTube stream, no need to risk future assets. Man, I disagree with that on two fronts. I think there is absolutely a need to risk future assets, and I just don't think any move that they make is going to cost them future assets that will be meaningful. But I get the sentiment. It is a scary proposition. I get it. You can leave us your comments on our YouTube stream, Facebook, X, all three of those places where we carry our video stream. You can leave comments. We can take them right there over the air. Always a good thing. All right, let's set up the second hour here. We're going to have our Damn Jam giveaway in the second hour, so stay tuned for that. We're also going to get into the fits for the Jayhawks drafted yesterday. One of the things that drives me nuts about the NBA draft, man, I'm getting push alerts from, you know, all these different places on where guys were taken, and then by the time I look it up, you realize that's not actually where they're going. They're going somewhere else because XYZ traded future asset. Like, the NBA draft sometimes can't get out of its own way. Like, it is the most confusing experience. Traded the draft rights to so-and-so. Like, who is the player playing for? That's all anybody cares about. Can we just do that and then we'll go on? It took me 15 minutes, Tommy, to figure out where Johnny Furphy was, you know, playing basketball next year after he was picked. It was the Spurs. I got a push alert that it was the Spurs. Then it was somebody else. And then it was the same thing with McCullough. I was laughing with TJ. I was coming off set, and I'm like, I just got a push alert that, you know, McCullough was taking XYZ, and he was like, well, I got a push alert from the other, and it said he was taken here. And I'm like, whatever, man. Like, just talk to me when it's all done.
The other thing I didn't realize was that now they have a day two of the draft. I mean, I knew that they were, you know, doing it over 2 days. But it was like, it started at what, 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon or something? I'm like, wait, what is going on? I'm like getting these alerts in the middle of the day about who's being drafted. I was really confused about the timing of all of it.
I think it was probably the Bronny effect. I don't know if they had that set up beforehand. I don't love it or hate it. It's just kind of weird. Like, they're just in a room shaking hands. Can we not just do the first and second rounds? There's 60 picks. I think you could get it done in a day.
Other year in the past, but it would drag into the night, you know, and yeah.
So anyway, we have Bronny taken by the Lakers. Furphy and McCullough have new spots. So we'll get into all of that. We'll try to get into this Sunday ticket story, and I bet you we talk more about the Royals on the other side as well. We'll give away our Damn Jam tickets. So stay tuned there. We want to tell you that this portion of the program is brought to you by Crestview Country Club. Love their support. Appreciate them. I was there last night, a little twilight golf. Got that in. I still can't get, I don't know what the pace is, Tommy, because I always play nine holes. I still can't get under 10 over on nine holes. I've been stuck on that number now for a couple of weeks as I've played, I think, four times. It's like, it always is like, all right, if I can just make this par putt on nine, then I can stay at under 10 over on nine, and I can't get there.
I mean, you do realize that's not particularly good. Like, that's not a very good score on nine
holes. You do realize that before the last 2 weeks, I played about 72 holes over the last,
you're golfing now, though. I mean, you're playing now. Yeah. I should expect to start to see that score.
It's going to take a minute.
You know,
you should also know that peak my golf, you know, my golf, which is all self-taught and never any, is my peak was a 90. Best round I ever shot was a 90.
Did you know that Crestview does offer lessons? If you'd like to take some golf lessons, you could do that.
Yeah. Does that take more than, you know, the hour of a day that I can find to even try to get out there and swing a golf club? I think it probably does. But yes, they do offer those lessons. And I will, mark my words, I will take one at some point. Maybe next year. Probably not this year. We appreciate Crestview's support. Give them a call. Tell them we sent you. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk a little NBA draft on the other side. It's Sports Daily. It's all Brockton Caster. Don't go away.